And that, of course, was the great Vince Hill and Edelweiss, which, of course, was his main song all those years ago. And the reason I'm playing that is because many years ago, I was in the concert hall and there was an evening with Irving Berlin and Vince Hill was actually starring on it. But the compere that night was the legend that is Brendan Balfe. And I had never seen Brendan, but like most of you, we'd heard his voice and all his great programmes down through the years. And I'm delighted to say that Brendan has actually joined us on the phone today. Brendan, good morning.
Good morning to you, Conor. How are you?
And thank you very much for coming on to Near FM. It's like somebody like yourself that for us in the radio is an absolute legend. And you know,
got you really impressed.
No, seriously, you know, because I remember the great days of Radio Éireann and all that stuff. And what I used to love was back, I think it was the mid 80s, you used to have a Saturday show with comedy on it and a bit of music, and it was just great crack to tune in and
yeah,
listen
that,
to.
Yeah, that ran since the 80s, 90s. It ran up to the time I left the place, pretty much up to the into the mid 2008 or 9, whatever it was. Yeah, it was just putting together comedy records and pop music. And I always said you could listen to it on a number of levels. First of all, as it was, comedy records and music. Or you could also realise it's not about what you thought it was, but it's actually about Bertie Ahern's capers that week.
reflecting
the mood of the week as well as everything else.
Oh, right. I have to say, I only picked up on that once or twice now, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, yeah. And the music sort of also, if you like, exaggerated the effect. So, yeah. if you listen for it, you say, that's actually about something else entirely. But that was the way it worked. The main thing was to be, I always work on, if I was at home on a Saturday lunchtime, for what I like to listen to, and that's pretty much what I'd like to listen to. So that's how you work it out.
Yeah, because in fairness, I saw you on television the other day with Doughty. And can I just say, I know I shouldn't really say this, I sometimes, maybe because I'm from Dublin, I find it hard to understand Doughty, and you came on and it was as clear as a bell, and it just goes to show you how people are so used to your clear voice and how distinctive it is, you know. And I was kind of going, like, I won't say what I said to my wife.
All right, yes,
you
know, mind the libel laws.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'd be very careful, you know, in case we ever want Doughty on to have a chat with us.
Yeah, well, the voice is the way it came. I remember talking to Eamon Andrews years and years ago, doing an interview with him, and I told him that my old boss, who was the chief announcer at the time, Dennis Meehan, his theory was that Eamon Andrews got what they call a mid-Atlantic accent from going to too many cowboy pictures as a youth.
So, the Corinthian so in that, down in the Keys, yeah.
Says, well, he's not quite right, actually. He says, you must remember that what they call a mid-Atlantic accent only sounds mid-Atlantic if you're listening to it in London. If you're listening to it in Dublin, it's one of the Dublin accents. So that's what I have, one of the Dublin accents. It's a sort of a city stroke, tinges of suburban to it, because my mum and dad were both city Dublin city people.
Right.
And I was born in Rialto and came out to Stillorgan after that. So that's where the voice came from. And it came the way it came. So that's
the way it is, you know. And the stories you were telling the other day on the television about, you know, that when you started off as a continuity person, that the tricks that people like Terry Wogan and Larry Gogan were playing on you when you were trying to actually work.
Well, it was I trained as an announcer. Terry Wogan was my boss. He was the senior announcer at the time. And on my very first morning, reading the station opening at 8 o'clock in both languages, Irish and English, he poured a jug of water over my head. And you can't very well say stop and halfway through and say stop that.
Yeah, would you mind not?
Keep on going.
Yeah.
So you keep on going. And another great trick was the opposite, you know, water and fire. He set fire to your script as you're reading it. So the trick was to read the script before the flames consumed the typing.
Well, you see, we would have difficulty doing that here.
You could very well say, lay off, Wogan, because the microphone is live and you have to keep on going as if nothing was wrong.
And of course, you see, we have a webcam here. So if anybody tried something like that, it would be immediately picked up.
Oh, that's not fair. there.
I know. Yeah. Well, actually, maybe it is. If somebody was coming in trying to, you know, put you off your what you were chatting about, you know.
Well, on the more boring announcements, when you were in continuity, some of them you might be reading screeds of recital things and cattle market reports and things of that nature. And myself and Mike Murphy, my other colleague, we used to share it. So every second sentence we would take, and no one could tell the difference because we tried to sound like each other. So I remember doing a long announcement when the two of us did a duet on it, and no one spotted the thing.
Isn't it amazing, you know, that sometimes people aren't tuned in? Well, especially if you were doing the market report first thing in the morning.
Well, people half listen to those things. It sounds authentic. So if you're listening very carefully, you say, what are they talking about? You know, but if it sounds calm and collected, the illusion
exactly.
is that we
Once
are
you're relaxed and you're in the groove, like, you know, it's just so easy, isn't that it?
Exactly.
Yeah. And the reason you're on, in fairness now, you've got a lovely show on in the Dreacht in Blanchardstown tomorrow evening.
Tomorrow night.
And it's called Sorry We're Off the Air. A great name for a show.
The reason for that, the title came from actually Tracer Davison, who was a colleague of mine in the GPO and the studios in Henry Street at the time.
I know you're going back around
now,
yeah.
And as she was a senior person to me, but I was actually outranking her because I was there longer, and I was a supervisor that night, and I got a call from the Athlone transmitter to say, would you mind apologising? We've been off the air for a few minutes, an hour ago, and I gave. Just the details, you know, 530 meters, whatever it was, and she made the announcement at the next junction, but she got it slightly backwards. And said, I'm sorry, if you're listening to us on the Athlone transmitter, I'm sorry, we're off the air.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, so they weren't going to hear you anyway, one way or the other.
From.
Yeah, yeah. And that's how they got the name of the show.
So, yeah, it's Tales from Behind the Microphone. It's stories that behind the calm and the, if you like, the calm and collected, there's some sort of mad things happening. And that's basically all it is. So it's really... It's stories, anecdotes, gags, and some recorded bloopers, recorded mistakes that we've caught on the air. People didn't know they were doing them, but they were caught. And so I'm playing some clips of the audio clips as well, and a few bits of programs.
Brilliant.
So it's generally, it's really a comedy show in that sense. It's an entertainment. It's not a lecture.
And there
is actually a historical thread to it. I'll tell you about the things I've done and the people I've run across.
And let's be honest, there were so many of them, in fairness, down through the years. I know, obviously, you know, you've worked with Mike Murphy, as you were saying, and the great Eamon Andrews, who lived out in Portmarnock, just down the road.
That's right.
And, of course, married one of the Roylettes, Gracie Burke, one of the famous Burke's family as well.
That's
so,
true.
You know, and all these people, you know, and Mike Murphy and all the tricks he used to get up to later on. So, obviously,
yeah,
you have a bit...
We used to go in hotel crawls, because when we were working odd hours in Henry Street, particularly... You'd be off between, say, 7 and 9 or something. So we used to go to the Gresham Hotel to see what was on the functions board. And we'd go to ICA receptions and things for the Irish Farmers Journal and things, whatever was happening. And we'd arrive in and just get a free drink and leave again.
And, like, you know. And then go back to
cheap way of having a few pints.
I wish you'd see Near FM, they don't send us out like that, really. You know, it's strange.
No, they're not allowed.
No, we're not allowed to drink on air. But of course, it was
perish the thought.
Perish the thought. And of course, it all came all across so serenely and professionally on RTE, as it had to. But as we said, we didn't know what was going on in studio or just outside the studio.
No, not at all. Well, you're just to relieve because you have to be on the air and you have to be very, alert, you might say, because you're the fallback of things go wrong. But sometimes programs don't go wrong. So you're sitting there listening to programs, and the danger is that you might miss something. So occasionally we have missed something. I remember Una Sheehy. The problem with the studio in continuity was the microphone switch was beside the talkback switch. So sometimes we thought we were talking to the engineer outside, and we weren't. We were talking to the nation again. I remember Una Sheehy, who was a colleague of mine, she was commenting on a particularly saccharine children's program, this awful man who was dripping with syrup and sweetness. And she put on the talkback, but actually broadcast to the nation, and said, "Sweet Jesus." And then realised the red light had got on and waited for the phone calls. And there wasn't a single phone call, because the theory afterwards was, well, no one actually believed they'd heard it.
Because
the last thing you'd hear
in
a cultured voice in a children's programme with those words. So it's no one ever noticed it. These things happen all the time.
Well, look, Brendan, I'm actually thrilled that you came on, because, as I said, you are one of the broadcasting legends of the radio industry. And
Thank you,
in fairness now, and the show is on tomorrow night in the
Direct,
yeah. And the box office number is 8852622, or you can get the tickets online. And if you can't get there, I see you're on the 6th of February in the Pavilion in Dunleary. And
yeah,
all I can say is continued success, and this sounds like a great night out, and the best of luck with it. And I hope you'll come back to us again. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Connor. Pleasure talking.
Talk to you again. Thanks very much. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And that, of course, was the great Brendan Balfe. And it sounds like a great evening out. I might even get along myself. And I have to say, it just sounds a great evening out. If you enjoy all those great days, it'll be something to go along and listen to Brendan, because he's probably the most distinctive voice on Irish radio.